Right. So it's great to have Pastor Dr. Don Lake with us, and he's been to every Inspire conference and seems to enjoy it. And so I just know that he feels free to minister, and I want him to feel free to minister. And he has revelation on the whole prophetic area. He has revelation on many things, but he has revelation on the prophetic area, and people's minds and hearts have been unlocked as he's spoken, and as Helen has spoken, there's been just an unlocking. There's a sense of God as he's spoken. So we're believing for that again. That's why we're running it third year. I think this is the third time we've run this, and every time there's a sense of unlocking, there's a sense of release for people who God's gifted to work in the prophetic. I believe everybody can work in the prophetic. And so I really encourage you just to take hold of it and see what God will do with you and through you. And let's just welcome him. Let's welcome Dr. Don and Helen and Mrs. Helen. That's great. Let's give them a welcome. Oh, yeah. Pastor Steve over here was just saying to me, he says, you know, everything I wrote down, you spoke. There you go. So it's just doubled up. I said, take it off, buddy. That's fantastic. That's great. Lord, we thank you for this couple that have walked with you for many, many years, have lots of experience. And I just really pray that you'd give revelation. Revelation, Lord, not only to them, but to us as we sit, as we listen and we hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks very much, Nick. What a great introduction. This is the first time Helen and I have ministered in this era together in this workshop. So it's just a great, fresh thing for us to do. And we hope you really enjoy it. Any negative comments, just leave them at the door on the other side. Nick made a true comment. This is the third time that we've run this workshop, and I want to do it different this time. So it will be a wee bit different from last year. So if you're here last time, you'll be hearing some new material. But what's happened is each time we've run it so far, it's twice, obviously, but each time it's just grown in its impact. Last time I was here at Inspire, ministered things, never had a chance to minister in a workshop like this before. I went home inspired. It's great. I just thought, that's quite kind of you, God, really, for me to come minister and actually go back more inspired than I came. As a result, I'm trusting that will happen again today. And what we want to do, we want to be able to look at the three levels of prophetic ministry so that you can understand it a bit more, both in terms of the delivery yourself, because some of you will be here this afternoon, yes, because God is going to be challenging you to take another step in prophetic ministry. I've been functioning at this level. Okay, God, I need to go to another level. Knowing what that is, what it looks like, and what you should be aiming to achieve is going to help you. For some of you, it's going to be, oh, that's really interesting. I always wondered what happened when they did that and why they did those things, and now you'll understand. And for some of you who are leading churches, that may help you better understand, how do I receive that prophetic ministry and use it in my church to activate me or activate people or just to mobilize it so it doesn't become something strange or weird, but it becomes functional for me. And then nationally, I hope it'll help us get a wee bit of a glimpse on what does authentic prophetic ministry look like, and when should I say yes to a word that's circulating around, and when should I say maybe? Right. Now, that we may not focus on a whole lot. You might have to come to the National Prophetic Workshop in 2 weeks' time for that, but that's just a bit of cheap advertising there. Email addresses. No. Just send me out. Sorry, yeah, I do actually. I do have pamphlets. Okay, all right, I'll do that. We're running a National Prophetic Workshop for the first time, as I understand, in New Zealand, to try and bring together prophetic voices, to give them in an environment where they can see one another and say, oh, I didn't realize you did that. And then get mobilized and activated to do the job so we can have an authentic prophetic voice in our nation. Yeah? A lot of voices come. We want to hear the voice of God. Okay, what I want to do is, what we're going to do is, I'm going to do a bit of introduction now. You're going to do a small exercise. That's good, isn't it? Then Helen's going to tell a story. I'm going to unpack it. We're going to do an exercise. Story, unpack, exercise. Story, unpack, and then we're really going to go for it. How's that? What I'm going to say is this: there are three steps in the exercising prophetic ministry at any time when you're about to speak vocally. The first is, now this is just a short introduction. We might pick this up again in a moment. I'm not going to teach broadly. This is actually to get you going on the first exercise. There is the burden of, I really think God wants to say something here. Or I'm concerned about this person, or what is this sort of feeling I've got? I'm standing here, innocently, you know, minding my own business. Nick stands up, begins to address Steve. Something's there in his spirit. It activates something in me. Suddenly I'm aware of it. And I think, oh my goodness, I think God wants me to prophesy. I come over and in faith begin to speak out. That's the burden part of what happens. When you're praying for people, that happens. Then there's vision. I begin to get a bit of a picture of what it is God might want to be saying to this person or doing through me while I'm speaking right now. And often people will prophesy at this level. Oh, I see a picture of, and oh, this kind of thing. Well, that's still in vision. Until it comes to the point where you can say what God is saying through that, then it hasn't become a word from the Lord. It's just still vision. But we shouldn't despise this middle step of the picture that we get. Oh, I just get the sense of peace. Or I see a picture of a rose. Well, that's great. Because that's the springboard then for you to speak. God wants to bring peace into your life. There's disruption and difficulty you've had right now. But God is saying, I'm going to bring peace. That's a word from the Lord. There's hope, there's faith in that. You are like a rose that before God and the aroma of your life touches many people. That's a word from God. You've gone past a picture. The rose could mean anything. You're growing old and we're going to bring you roses on your coffee. You know? All right? You understand what I'm saying? It's not a word from the Lord until it comes into some fashion and statement that it communicates. Communicates. Words communicate. Communicate life, truth, revelation, some unfolding from God to that person. And the Bible says the entrance of God's word brings light. And it also says that when we hear the word of God, it brings faith. So you can't just go on a picture. There must be a word. And I find that people have the greatest struggle in prophesying right at this point here. And I call that, you won't see that from here unless the camera goes up close. That's what's called the sound barrier. The sound barrier. And my whole experience of prophesying started in a small group where we were singing together, university students in someone's home, and then I felt God prompt me to sing a song in English that I hadn't planned. I broke the sound barrier. It was okay while I was doing I love you Lord, and all of those stuff. But when I began singing something I hadn't actually planned in my head, I broke the sound barrier and began to minister like that was the beginning of prophetic ministry for me. So what we want you to do right now is stand up and pray for the person beside you. We'll get you to prophesy in a moment. We'll just get you to pray. Because I want us to be able to break the sound barriers. Kiwis are often hesitant and reticent to do this. Now, if you're experienced at praying, we'll break the faith barrier and pray something that's extraordinary, but still God. If you're not used to praying for other people or comfortable, well, right now you need to break the sound barrier if you're going to be able to come through into prophecy. Even children can do this. Just find someone, stand up, pray for them. You agree while they pray, and then they can pray for you. Yes, 30 seconds to 1 minute each, and we're back in again. When you hear the roar, we start again. Okay, if you haven't already, swap and have the other person pray for you. Okay, why don't you take your seats? That's it. How many prayed for the first time this morning? Has anybody here never prayed in this environment before? All right, so we've broken through the sound barrier previously. That's great. I'm going to head over to Helen now.
The next challenge will be to break the sound barrier in terms of going out into the community and praying for other people out on the street. The Lord had been challenging me with that, with the whole idea of taking gifts of revelation out into the marketplace and using them with taking the kingdom just out to people and seeing what God could do with that. And I was lying in bed as I was going off to sleep one night and praying and asking God for him to give me understanding and revelation for somebody that might be powerful for them. And I found my mind just flitting around. You know, as you're kind of half asleep, that's really easy to do. Well, it landed on this one particular person, my mind, my imagination. And it was a man that I hardly knew. He actually worked down about 5 minutes away from us in the shops in Browns Bay. And he was a barber. And I didn't see, as you can understand, not getting my hair cut from the barber too often. But God showed me something about him. And so I prayed for him, and I prayed. It was a picture that he gave me. I prayed for him. Well, the very next day, I was walking up to our local shops, and I saw this man sitting on at a cafe table outside a cafe, and my heart went boo. I'd never seen him there before, and I went to walk past him, as you do, and I thought, now come on Helen. So I mustered up my courage and went back and asked him whether I could just have a word to him, because I didn't really want to talk to everyone else at the table at the same time. And I took him over to the side of the footpath and I said, you're going to think this is rather strange. You don't know me all that well, but I've been praying for you. And God gave me something I think is a message to share with you. And I felt that he said to me that there is royal blood in your veins. And he said, well, there is. I'm from Spanish descent and there's royal blood in me. And it was like his eyes were going like this. And I said to him, I saw a picture actually of a Spanish bull standing and snorting and lifting its head, and I just felt that God wanted me to tell you that there's incredible majesty in your life and you need to go back to your roots. And he said, well, I became a Christian when I was a child and I haven't been walking in it. And I said to him, well, I think God's on your case, isn't he? And I don't remember whether I prayed for him. I don't think that I did at the time, because I felt that I just delivered a wake-up call to him. And there was some more a couple of nights later, and the next day I ran into him again. And until finally he said to me, that's enough. Stop. And so I've just continued to pray for him since then, but that was quite a significant experience for me.
All right, so what good story, isn't it? And one of the things I pick up in here is the prophetic is always in the realm of the supernatural. Okay, it's not just bright ideas we have. I think I'd like to share this with this person. And it's not just encouragement or exhortation. This scripture seems to apply to this person. It's where we begin to step out and move into a realm that we just have no control over, that we begin moving in the supernatural. And you also notice that in the story that Helen told, there's a progression in terms of the revelation that God gives us. And so often we'll begin prophesying and we come to a point like this. We're prophesying along. We sense that God is saying, here we are, we've got the word peace. Okay? We're prophesying along to this person and we've just said, you know, your life's been in turmoil. God wants to bring peace into your life. And then suddenly God says to us, actually, something's happened to their mother-in-law. Yeah? Has it ever happened to you? I mean, and suddenly, okay, I now have the choice. Am I going to talk about this mother-in-law or am I going to shut my mouth? Because if we step on and talk about the mother-in-law, suddenly we're going up to another level of the prophetic in this person's life and another release of faith. Because if something has happened to their mother-in-law, they're going to really know this is God. Right? What's been added in there at this point is a word of knowledge, which will often link with a prophetic word. But we've gone with a supernatural prompting and impartation of God, yes? I mean, Helen knew nothing about this man's background, about the snorting, but it was the snorting that caused him to say, yes, actually, I was once a believer. And that word suddenly had even more impact. Here was the beginning of an understanding about him as a person of royal blood and Spanish background, but here at this point was another moment where she went on. And the prophetic will often do that when we're moving in the supernatural, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. Now, I'll tell a story now for myself that happened here in this church, was that I was intending to go to Turkey with a team of 12 people, and I had no money. I had about $500 out of the $3,500 that we needed, and Aidan Holliday, I think, who was looking after the cutting-edge students here at that time, asked me to come down and minister about the prophetic and in the prophetic. So we had some small work groups like we're going to do in a moment. And in one of those work groups, there was a fellow who had never prophesied before, and they were right down at the back of the hall, and everyone else was still going, and these guys had finished, so I thought, I'll put them on the spot. So I went down, and I said to them, listen, why don't you prophesy over me? Here's a good provocation, you know. Because I'm not a scary person, but I think they were quite afraid of the thought that they might prophesy, because you can make a mistake. You know, and that's why when we prophesy, we're gifting something to a person who have the freedom to say, no, that isn't actually true. And say, oh, I'm sorry, I was reaching out and believing for God. And if there's an environment of love, they're not going to chop you down. And don't you stop, you just go again and try again. Well, this person, who had never prophesied before, I get into the circle, he's the first person to speak. And he says, he didn't give the full prophecy, so it was a picture, but there was enough content for me. He said, I see a bullseye, and you're like an arrow in the Lord's hand, and you're going to hit the bullseye. And I burst into tears, which was pretty unusual for me. You know, just, hello. because what I saw was not the arrow hitting the bullseye, I saw the arrow being embedded in the bullseye. And I realized that I did not have any money to go to Turkey because I didn't want to go to Turkey. And I didn't want to go to Turkey because I was afraid that my heart would be captured by that nation and it would complicate my life. Hello? And none of that was conscious. I had no idea that was true. But this prophetic word from a person with a simple gift of prophecy who was obedient to God had a supernatural impact on my life. And in an instantly, you know, the reason I burst into tears was because I realized all those things, repented and said, God, I'm sorry, I'll do that. Even if it captures my heart, I will go because I now understand this is what you want me to do, whether I want to or not. And within weeks, I had within 2 weeks, I had $2,500. I had all the money I ever needed. I've been to Turkey over 7 times. I've never paid anything for any of the trips. Our church has established a ministry in a local suburb of 800,000 people amongst university students. Very early, but we're still believing for growth in God. And there's now a national New Zealand-Turkey network out of that one event. Amazing, eh? And we think, oh no, it's just a simple gift of prophecy that I've got. I'm just prophesying over this person. We never know what pivotal change can happen globally as we share. Amen? I'll just briefly give this a great picture from 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 21 can help you as you do this work exercise. So I'll use this as an introduction to the work exercise. In the scripture it says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And what this picture here is meant to represent is a yacht. Because the picture that is described in that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 is of a sailing boat being moved or borne along. The Greek word can be translated borne along. That means carried along by something else. In this case, it's the wind. In the case of prophecy, it's the wind of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the scripture tells us that our tongue is like a rudder. And so when we prophesy, there is a conjunction or a partnership or a connection between the wind of the Holy Spirit who's inspiring us to say things and our tongue and lips that are speaking. And what you sometimes find, and you'll find this yourself and certainly other people, you'll see it in other people, they're prophesying along and they're being borne along by the Holy Spirit and they're flowing in the Spirit and suddenly their tongue gives out. And they sort of stutter and splutter, and then they might try and fill a few things in to fill the spot and sort of dangle away. You ever had that experience when you're prophesying? Oh, just sort of like all my inspiration has gone out the window. The wind is out of my sails. Well, then what you do in that situation, I have found is really helpful, is slow down, let the Holy Spirit inspire you again, and then stop. Yep, it's really good to stop. But the whole thing about prophecy is that it's a cooperation between you and the Holy Spirit. And I recommend, I don't think that anyone should ever move into ascension ministry, be ordained as a pastor or a teacher or anything else who isn't able to prophesy, because there's supernatural power that you experience as you prophesy. But when you're prophesying, it's really no different to speaking in tongues. It's the same Holy Spirit who's inspiring you. And when you feel what that's like, then the act of prophesying becomes very easy. Now, I'm not talking about standing up and telling nations what they should do or, you know, directing individuals in their destiny. I'm talking about being able to encourage or exhort or comfort other believers. It's very easy when you let the Holy Spirit fill the winds of your sail and let your tongue just guide your way through. And people, you see, prophesy very differently. I prophesy very differently to Helen, my wife, and very differently to Stu Kirkpatrick from our church. We all prophesy very differently because it's our personality, because this tongue is connected to a body that's connected to a mind that thinks in certain ways. And we need to just sit with our personality and feel comfortable with that, minister life. Because as we minister life, the Holy Spirit will do something impacting. Okay? So we're going to do an exercise now. What I want us to do is find a space. You will probably have to step out of where you are unless you can crawl over the back of chairs one another. I want groups of five, and we probably only have time for three of you to go in the middle. What I want is groups of five. And I want four people to be around the outside, and I want one person to volunteer to be in the middle. All right? Now, I won't put you on the spot by saying the person in the middle has got dreams they've written down on a piece of paper and you guys have got to say what they are. That's a bit tough. That's the next exercise. But in this one, what I want you to do is to have the experience of letting your sails be filled to say some words to this person. Remember burden, vision, word? You may need to. You may find yourself speaking in tongues, or the people there may just be praying quietly to let burden grow. The moment you see a picture or a word or a feeling or a sense, that's your vision part. Then say, God, okay, what is it you're trying to say to me? The step from burden to vision is, Lord, what are you trying to show me? The step from vision to word is, what are you trying to say to me? All right? I didn't say that before. That's quite a helpful way of taking those steps. What is it you're trying to show me? I've got this sense, this feeling. What is it you're trying to show me about this burden? What is it trying to show me? I've got this picture now. What is it you're trying to say to me? And prophecy is only really just sharing with that person what God has said to you. It doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord, but please don't fiddle around the bush and say, oh, well, you know, I just wonder whether maybe it could be, just possibly, you know, God might want to let you know. Don't do that. Say to them, if you want to, I think God might be saying, but at least just go ahead and say it, all right, and minister life in that way, okay? So find, what I want you to do is have at least two, and if possible, three of these outside people share something with us, one in the middle, and then I'll either whistle or, when you finish that, just be disciplined to put someone else in as a replacement, and then the other four of you do the same again, and then a third time. Clear? Go, find a spot, find some people. So don't take a long time. I mean, let God give you room, but make it work. If you haven't already, find someone else to put in the middle. Can you swap over just to give other people an opportunity to receive, and also for the person who's been in the middle, the challenge to prophesy. Let's do that, and we'll finish in a couple of minutes. Alright, let's find our seats right now. If you're actually physically in the middle of prophesying, then you can continue the sentence. But alright, let's find our seats, shall we? And just have a quick bit of feedback. Briefly. Thank you for your obedience in both doing and stopping. Was that a good experience? All right, for how many people was that the first time you've ever actually physically prophesied? Is anybody in the room today this is the first time for you? One, two, three. Okay. These are the kinds of altar calls prophets like. That was a scary experience, or it was good? We did it.
It was scary in that you're not sure if what you're saying is on track, so it's kind of a step of faith, and I'm quite a control freak, so letting go of that control was pretty freaky, but it's really amazing to know that you can bring words that just can be straight from God to people, that can inspire them and uplift them. That's an amazing feeling.
The person you prophesied over was where? Dan, and it ministered life, was it a... The answer is yes. So, okay, there was someone else here who was the first time as well. Is that right? Okay, for yourself?
Basically, same as what she said.
And you were the receiver on both occasions, were you, or was someone else the second time? Oh, Naomi. Okay, where's Naomi? Naomi, okay, for you. So the word that came for you was?
Encouraging, and because I'm a creation kind of person, and said about a light in the sky and whatnot, and that's kind of how I communicate with God. So I was like, ooh.
Okay, so it's really important when we're prophesying that we go outside our knowledge. So if we know a person, then we need to prophesy outside things we'd know about them, or even get someone else to prophesy and then just pray. The other thing is, when you prophesy, do prophesy, don't just pray your prophecy. That's not always very helpful, because the person then just says, oh, yes, it was a nice prayer, thank you, it did minister life to me. But when it's God speaking, well, then you don't have any choice about what you do. Seeing things, especially if you're reasonably experienced in this, try and make your prophecy short. Just in the next 6 months, discipline yourselves. Okay, I'm going to do a two-sentence prophecy. I'm going to wait to speak until I can actually do it in two sentences. Isn't that fantastic? Some of the most pivotal, life-changing prophecies I've received have been two sentences long. Let me just, can I? Thank you. Helen's sitting here all the time saying, let's go next thing, next thing, next thing. This is a really helpful thing for me. There was once a man in the church that I was in Dunedin. He was a lecturer in the philosophy of law. He still is a lecturer in the philosophy of law. Now, you learned not to ask him how he was when you went into church. You know, we all wear Kiwis. Oh, how are you? Oh, really good, thanks. Had a good week? Had a great week. Fantastic, we're going to church. Isn't that right? This is called phatic communion. This is called just normal conversation. You learnt never to ask this man this question, because 40 minutes later, you would still be on the landing of church while the service was going on, allowing him to finish what he was saying because you didn't want to be rude. Why? Because he was a lecturer in the philosophy of law. We're all on the same page in that. But when he prophesied, his prophecies were usually never more than one or two sentences long. One prophecy he prophesied over me personally, he said, cut and tie, cut and tie, cut and tie, until you come to the heart of the matter, the ministry of an evangelist. And that was it. Now, to anybody else, you know, that would have meant, but to me, it was everything I needed to know. Which is that when you do heart surgery, open heart surgery, you cut the skin and you tie off all the bleeders. And then you cut the bone and you seal off all the bleeders. Then you cut the lining on the outside of the heart and you tie off all the bleeders. And then you're in the heart of the matter. Just don't worry about her. We're all medical somewhere or another, aren't we? But what was it? This man knew nothing about cardiac surgery, and yet what he described was an exact outline of what God does when he touches our lives. He cuts through things and seals them off. He goes to another level of dealing in us and then makes sure that we've healed from it. And he gets to another, and then he's down to the heart of the matter. And this is a man who spoke for 40 minutes when you asked him a simple question. When he prophesied, it was one sentence long. It's a good discipline. Why? Because people will know that had to be God. Oh, let me do this. All right. So here we go. No. When we are receiving prophecy, it is very good. What Nick suggested this morning is very powerful. Receive the word. Believe that it's God, and then let it achieve its end for your life. And the best thing for you when you're prophesying over others is to recommend this to them. When you're receiving prophecy, is write the prophecy down, put it in your top pocket or in the top drawer of your desk, and refer to it every now and again. Don't let your life be ruled by it, but let it become a reference point of what God wants to do. Okay? Is a helpful tip from years back. I just want to talk about the three levels of prophecy, because they help us differentiate a bit what we should expect from prophecy and what we should expect to give in it. The first is the gift level of prophecy, which is really where God gives us revelation that helps bless, encourage, or release individuals. God gives us revelation that helps us bless, encourage, or release individuals. So the main focus on the gift of prophecy is on individuals. And most of us in this room will function at that level of gift. Now, when I talk about the other things, other levels, we don't need to think, oh, I've only got a gift of prophecy, so it isn't very important. Paul said every gift is pivotal to the functioning of the body of Christ. And I've already given you two examples of people with simple gifts who have made profound differences in my life. Just because they're obedient to God. They played their part in the body of Christ. And if we have a sort of comparison between how much of the content of my prophecy is God and how much is man, this is God and this is man. In the simple gift of prophecy, there's usually still quite a bit of us, but there's still some of God. Very important for us to recognize. And so, you know, we may not get it perfect, it may not be long, it may not feel absolutely profound, but it still has impact because God's there. All right? The next level is what's the role of prophecy. This is people for whom their prophetic ministry and gift has come to the point where it can be relied upon, where its impact is quite extensive, and it starts to make differences in how local churches or ministries undertake their role. It's a person with a role of prophecy. And they're not yet people who are recognised as prophets, and they may never be, but they have a significant role in releasing local churches. And, excuse my writing, and they release them from within. These are people within a local church who can be relied on, for example, in commissioning services, baby dedications, moments where there are people who need to have a bit of prophetic direction that isn't going to change their lives, but they need something more than just a gift of prophecy there. They need somebody with a bit of a reliable input that can come. Well, that's a person who has a role of prophecy. And they're very valuable people, used well, and if they don't try and function and act like a prophet when they're still at this level, they have a very significant impact. And we have them in our own church where I'm in Auckland, and their role is very helpful for us. There are people who carry quite a lot of God. There's still some of them, so they still tend to get nervous. The extent of their ministry is limited really to that local church, but they still have an impact and a part to play. And we're going to talk about that just in a moment. The last level is the ministry or office of prophet. And these are people who have ministry to movements, so that's whole groups of churches, or to nations. And they obviously are going to contain quite a lot of God. Let me get that as a greater line. They contain quite a lot of God, but the really nice thing is there's still a bit of man. That doesn't mean they necessarily make mistakes. I think I've only ever made one mistake since I became a prophet. Doesn't mean they don't still make mistakes, but what it does mean is that their personality is still visible. And that's what I love about supernatural prophetic ministry, is the personality is still available. Phil Underwood really helped me one day, and he said, Don, he said, I hate it when you're ordinary and just pleasant in your prophecy, because it's not you. It's not you. He said, if I don't see the exuberance and the enthusiasm, I don't really believe that it's God. And so that little bit of me helps give authenticity to the big part that's God. All right? And the really important thing is that we live inside the realm of the gifting that God has given to us. And if God is calling us to step into a prophetic ministry, then we accept the disciplines that are associated with that. We might talk about a bit of those later on. I'll put two of them down. One of them is an extensive understanding and absorption of the Word of God. The other that is a primary is suffering. You can't be a prophet without experiencing extensive and deep suffering. Because the Bible tells us that prophets of old grabbed hold of the glory of Christ and the sufferings of Christ. So you can't have the glory of having God do remarkable things if you won't experience deep suffering. And I won't talk about the things that we've been through, but there's been a lot of this. To give authenticity to the depth of that part of God. Let's just give an example at the moment of the role of prophecy. It'd be helpful for you.
We had some adventures when we were at Bible College some years ago. On Sunday mornings, we used to pray and talk about where we might go to church, because it was a chance for us to visit some different churches. And on this particular morning, I had had in my quiet time a passage that talked about one of the prophets anointing a king with oil and calling him into his inheritance. And I felt really strongly about it and said to Don, I think there's somebody that God wants us to anoint with oil this morning. And we had no idea where we were going to go to church, and found it difficult to make those decisions sometimes. But anyway, we went off to a service, got partway through the service, and we just looked at one another and said, no, this is not where we're meant to be. So we tried to exit as quietly as possible and hope that the pastor wasn't looking. And we went and found ourselves at an Anglican church very close by, and sat through the service. And afterwards, we went up and talked to the minister who was there, And it turned out that that Don knew him, and he was a leader in the Charismatic Renewal. And we said to him, we would really like to have the chance to anoint you with oil and pray for you. And I can't remember what he said, so I'm going to hand over to Don.
He said yes.
There you go, that's obedience for you, isn't it?
We had no idea this man was in this church. He was visiting as an interim preacher for a period of time because their pastor had gone. And I knew him really, really well. And so it was God that had just taken us to this church out of the blue. I mean, the other church was a church, we knew the pastor really well. He was friends, the people in the church were friends of ours. It was very embarrassing to say God has called us to go somewhere else. But we were being driven by... We're being driven by the word of the Lord that was causing us to undertake a role function in prophecy towards somebody we didn't even know. We had to step out in faith and follow this trip. I mean, if we'd come to the Anglican church and there was no one there, I don't know where we would have gone next, the Catholics or the local mall. I mean, you know, we were stepping out in faith, following what was more than just a gift of prophecy. God was taking us on a prophetic journey to minister to this man. And we saw him there. The service had finished. He I'm not even sure he recognized who I was, quite frankly. But he said, yes, that would be great. They were obviously facing some stress and strain. He said, let's go out and we'll find my wife and let's go and minister to her.
And it ended up being a very significant word for him, really just confirming what was on his heart and a great encouragement to him and a big adventure for us to find that we'd been able to hear God and respond to him.
In fact, what he said was it was exactly the same word that he'd been given from overseas. And it was about him still having a role in the charismatic renewal, even though it was 10 or 15 years after he'd finished having that. So it was very impacting for him. And what it did was, it touched a man at this level, at the level of a local church or a ministry. We weren't giving him big direction about, you know, where he was meant to go overseas or a church he was being called to. We were mobilizing and activating him. At the second level, where God gives us revelation that helps mobilize individuals and ministries to work within local churches. Yeah, now we were going to do another exercise here, which we will leave at the moment. We'll leave at the moment. Is that all right? We're going. Okay. So the third level is the level of the prophetic, and this is where God gives revelation that impacts movements or nations. All right. God gives revelation at the gift level that blesses, encourages, and releases individuals. At the role level, he gives revelation that mobilizes ministries and local churches. And at this level, it's revelation that impacts movements and nations.
Some years ago, about 6 years ago, Don and I made a trip together to Turkey, and it was my first trip away overseas with him. And before we went, I felt that God showed me really clearly that he had a prayer assignment for me in Turkey. That was all that I knew. I had no further understanding. And so I spent the 2 weeks trotting around Turkey with Don, really just with my eyes open to see what it might be and what he would show me to do. We had some quite oppressive circumstances. I was getting headaches daily in our time over there, which we found is quite common for people going to that nation. And on one particular day, I had the most severe headache that I had had, and Don got a case of severe food poisoning, which had fairly drastic effects on him. So it was a really difficult day. We were up in the centre of Turkey and some friends took us to a carpet factory. And they were throwing out carpets, you know, as they do, these carpet dealers wanting you to buy one. And we were thinking, okay, we're not buying a carpet. But they threw out one carpet and they said, now this carpet comes from Konya. And our ears pricked up because we were staying in Konya, which is the darkest city spiritually in Turkey. It was known as a really difficult place. So our ears pricked up when we saw this carpet. And he said, and this carpet is, you can see, very plain, and it just has one insignia on it. And it was quite striking. And he said, this is the symbol of domination. And he explained how it had come that the Muslim faith came into Turkey. And when I heard that word domination, something went stab in my heart. And I knew that's what I'd come to Turkey for. It was that word domination. And we went and spoke to our friends who were Christian workers in that city, and And we were able to say to them, God has shown us what the spirit is over this area. It's the spirit of domination. And since then I've come to understand that really that is the spirit behind Islam. It is a spirit of domination. So it proved to be very helpful. We were able to do some things to facilitate some change in the spiritual realm in terms of prayer, just as a result of that.
Okay, so what we found out later was the university in Konya has outside a row of busts, you know, statues of chests and above, of all of the major conquerors in the Middle East area. And they honour them and respect them. People like Genghis Khan, Suleiman, others who were just tyrants who overtook nations and dominated them. There it's celebrated in Konya. We had no idea of that. And actually, we undertook some prophetic acts after that. Did you mention that there's been a release in Konya since then? Acting on that prophetic word, we did some prophetic things, raised some intercession, and has now become the gospel has started to open up in this place of Konya. Yeah. In Izmir, where you go, you hear the muezzin calling out from the mosques, and you think everybody just thinks, oh, that's interesting, and gets on with their work. In Konya, the time for afternoon prayer at 5 o'clock comes, and the whole atmosphere is filled with the call of the muezzin, just mosque after mosque after mosque. They are dominated by Islam there. And God has brought that revelation, and now there's come breakthrough. Let me give you three things that prophets will do. And I want to talk about how we respond to prophetic ministry, and then we're going to do an exercise together to finish off with in the last few minutes. One is prophets identify and release ministry. And I'll put in there ascension ministry. So when a prophet comes into a situation, there should be times where people are suddenly catapulted into ministry because a revelation has come that provokes them and promotes them, in a sense, to ministry. And a very good word to understand that process is the word activate. So people who have a call of God in their lives, but it just never seems to happen or circumstances haven't come right, a prophet will come, speak, and ministry will be activated. They won't know why they're doing these things, but suddenly they're doing the ministry that God has called them to. And just a comment on that is that prophets will sometimes come in and say things that's not confirmation. Often people say, well, prophecy should confirm things that are in my heart. Yes, but sometimes there are things that are so deep, we don't know they're there. And the prophet will come and activate them, and afterwards you realize, oh, wow, now I realize it's true, and I understand all these things that I never did before. That's a prophetic level ministry that comes, and it not only gives us insight and understanding, it actually creates the capacity to do the job. It actually activates the ministry. The power that works within us begins to allow that person to do beyond what they had imagined because of the entrance of the prophetic word. The second thing is that it mobilizes movements. A really good example of this for me is when our movement, the Apostolic Church Movement of New Zealand, was considering the question whether its pastors could drink alcohol. And there were many people who were moving culturally to a place where it was difficult for them not to be able to drink alcohol with their friends and neighbours. Now, I don't drink alcohol. Just a decision I made a long time ago for personal reasons that had to do, I think, with my makeup and the call of ministry. But I didn't even know it was true at the time. So for me, it didn't really matter one way or the other. I didn't have a particular position. But for some people, and I've never found it difficult to say I don't drink. But for some people, that was difficult and interfering with their ability to preach the gospel. And then there were other people who were from a cultural background where alcohol was so all-consuming that to even think of drinking, having one drop of alcohol was against, just out of the question. And there was an impasse in this council meeting, a valid and appropriate impasse. And there seemed to be no way through. And a prophet stood up and said, my servants, I'm calling you to diversity. A diversity of administration. I work in different ways at different times. And you know, it just answered the question. Everybody said, oh my goodness, of course. Some people need to be able to continue to say, this is not how we're doing this. Other people need to be able to say, yes, now we can do this. But we need to be able to embrace diversity of administration. What happened? A prophetic word mobilized a movement that got stuck. Now that's it's just one example of many times where I've seen that happen in our own movement and in other movements overseas. The third thing is Prophetic ministry has a great deal to do with the whole area of destiny, but it's particularly true when it comes to nations. It directs the intercession and destiny of nations. Like this prophecy about Konya, when God reveals the true nature of the supernatural, people can pray.